Hello and welcome to What the F*** Just Happened Today, your essential guide to the daily shock and awe in national politics. I'm Joe Anvitas. Let's get to it. It's Thursday, September 17th, 2020. Welcome to day 1337. Another 860,000 people applied for unemployment insurance last week, the 26th straight week that unemployment claims have remained above the 1960s pre-pandemic record. The total number of people claiming unemployment insurance went up by about 100,000 to 29.7 million as of August 29th. Attorney General William Barr criticized his own Justice Department, equating them to preschoolers and headhunters. Barr insisted that he has the ultimate authority to intervene in investigations and to overrule career lawyers as he sees fit. Quote, "What exactly am I interfering with?" Barr asked at an event hosted by Hillsdale College. Quote, "Under the law, all prosecutorial power is invested in the Attorney General," end quote. In February, Barr overrode a sentencing recommendation for Roger Stone, and in May, he directed federal prosecutors to withdraw the government's case against Michael Flynn, who twice pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. Meanwhile, shortly before the federal police officers cleared out Lafayette Square with smoke and tear gas on June 1st, federal and military officials stockpiled ammunition and tried to obtain a sound cannon and a heat ray that could be deployed against demonstrators. The active denial system technology was developed to disperse crowds in the early 2000s, but shelved over concerns in part for the safety and ethics of using it on human beings. DC National Guard Major Adam DeMarco told lawmakers that military officials were searching for crowd control technology deemed too unpredictable to be used in war zones. DeMarco's account also contradicts the administration's claims that protesters were violent, that tear gas was never used, and that demonstrators were warned multiple times to disperse. Marco did, however, authorize the transfer of about 7,000 rounds of ammunition to the DC Armory. Meanwhile, Trump blamed the nationwide protests against racism and police brutality on schools teaching students about the impact of slavery and racism on American history, calling it toxic propaganda and left-wing indoctrination. Trump again denounced the 1619 Project, a Pulitzer Prize-winning public school curriculum developed by the New York Times, which aims to reframe American history from when the first slave ship arrived, calling the curriculum radical, toxic child abuse that threatens to impose a new segregation. Earlier this month, Trump tweeted that the Department of Education would cut off federal funding to schools that adopted the 1619 curriculum. He also announced that he would create a 1776 commission to promote a, quote, pro-American curriculum that celebrates the truth about our nation's great history, end quote, which he said would encourage educators to teach students about the, quote, miracle of American history, end quote. Back in D.C., Attorney General William Barr argued that coronavirus-related lockdowns were the, quote, greatest intrusion on civil liberties, end quote, in history, quote, other than slavery, end quote, which he characterized as, quote, a different kind of restraint, end quote. When asked to explain the constitutional hurdles involved in preventing churches from meeting during the pandemic, Barr called stay-at-home orders a form of house arrest before comparing it to slavery. Barr went on to accuse governors of treating their free citizens as babies by using their executive powers to prevent people from going back to work, and suggested that the federal response to the pandemic should be guided by politicians and elected officials rather than, quote, the person in the white coat, end quote. Moving on, FBI Director Christopher Wray warned that, quote, Russia continues to try to influence our elections, end quote, and is seeking to primarily denigrate Biden's campaign. Wray said Russia has not successfully hacked any election systems and that activity has been limited to social media misinformation and influence operations. Wray added that his biggest concern is the steady, quote, drumbeat of misinformation, end quote, that could undermine confidence in the results of the election. The Trump administration's top intelligence official will brief congressional intelligence committees on threats to the November election. Last month, Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe said he would no longer give Congress in-person briefings about election security, citing concerns over, quote, unauthorized disclosures of sensitive information, end quote. Moving on, a federal judge temporarily blocked U.S. Postal Service operational changes that have slowed mail delivery, saying that Trump and Postmaster General Louis DeJoy are, quote, involved in a politically motivated attack on the efficiency of the Postal Service, end quote, that could disrupt the 2020 election. Judge Stanley Bastian granted a nationwide preliminary injunction, which was sought by 14 states, saying mail delivery backlogs, quote, likely will slow down delivery of ballots, both to the voters and back to the states, end quote, this fall. The states sued the Trump administration and the USPS, challenging the so-called leave-behind policy, where trucks leave the facility on time whether or not there is more mail to be loaded. Meanwhile, Trump continued to lie about mail-in voting, tweeting that the results, quote, may never be accurately determined, in all caps, because, quote, big unsolicited ballot states, end quote, automatically send ballots to registered voters. There is no evidence that states that send mail-in ballots to registered voters have had any issues with accuracy, and voter fraud, broadly speaking, has proved to be exceedingly rare. Twitter labeled Trump's tweet indicating that it included potentially misleading information regarding the process of mail-in voting. Meanwhile, another woman has accused Trump of sexual assault. While at the U.S. Open tennis tournament in New York in 1997, former model Amy Doris alleges that Trump, quote, shoved his tongue down my throat, end quote, and that, quote, his grip became tighter and his hands were very gropey and all over my butt, my breasts, my back, everything, end quote. Doris provided evidence to support her account of her encounters with Trump, including her ticket to the U.S. Open and six photos showing her with Trump over several days in New York. Several people also corroborated her account. Doris was 24 years old at the time, while Trump was 51 and married to his second wife, Marla Maples. Trump's attorneys say Trump denies having ever harassed, abused, or behaved improperly toward Doris. And finally, Trump's businesses have charged the Secret Service more than $1.1 million in private transactions since he took office, including rentals at the Bedminster, New Jersey club that was closed due to the coronavirus pandemic. That's all for now. You can find the links and sources for all of these stories on the main website. And as always, visit whatthefuckjusthappenedtoday.com for the latest news and headlines. Until next time, I'm Joe Andidas.